Okay, we're going to start today at the bottom of Yud-Tet Amud-Bet. We have a lot of stories today, and they're just going to continue for the next few days. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. We're about 10 lines from the bottom of Yud-Tet Amud-Bet. Pam achat alu kol Yisrael laregel Yerushalayim, v'lo haya lem mayim lishtot. Okay, one time what happened, that everyone was going to the regel, right? Obviously, I assume it wasn't kol Yisrael, because imagine that not every single person went, but a lot of people came up for the regel. And there was no water. Remember, we talked about this yesterday, how that was an issue, having water for the Barot Shechinah Ma'arot, that there be water in the wells and the ditches and the caves to fill up, so that, you know, the reservoirs, really, so that people could have water to drink. So here, everyone was going L'Regel, and they didn't have water. Halach Nachdimon Ben Gurion. I was wondering, I actually tried looking up if there was any source for Ben-Gurion naming. So Ben-Gurion was named apparently for this guy Yosef Ben-Gurion. That's what I found so far, but I don't know where he got his name. Anyway, Nachdimon Ben-Gurion, his name was, what was his name? Ben-Gurion? Something that was, it was Green. Right, Green. So anyway, it was close. But okay, so this guy, Nachdimon Ben-Gurion, who was known to be a wealthy guy, okay, he went, it's a ladon echad. He went to one of, you know, his non-Jewish, you know, one of these leaders. Amar lo hilveni 12 mayonot mayim. Lo ole regalim. Can you lend me 12 mayonot of mayim? Okay, 12 wells of water for the ole regalim. Vani aten lecha 12 enot mayim. And I'll bring you back enough water, I'll pay you back the amount of water that fills up these 12 mayonot, because you assume it'll rain by the time you have to pay back. Okay, according to what I read, 12 a kikar is worth 6,000 dinarim.
Okay? How did the water, though?
Who's storing up this water?
Right, that's a good question, but I guess it was the non-Jewish people. They had other ways of getting water. I assume they brought in water from, you know, I assume it was a Roman guy. He brought in water from wherever, you know, they were storing water they brought for their people. Okay, so now he says, I'm going to give you, so a huge amount, 72,000 dinarim. Okay, a lot of money. The kavalosman. So the guy said, okay, but I want it back on this and this date. Kevanchi gia hazman v'lo yardu gashamim. Okay, so the day comes and it doesn't rain. B'shacharit shalachlo. In the morning he says to him, shagir li omaim omaot. Okay, hand over the money or the water. Sheeshli biyadcha, right? That belong to me. Shalach lo, he sends him back. Adain yeshli zman koleyom kulo sheli, shelihu. Okay, he says, wait, the day is not over. Okay, he has hope. Maybe something will happen. But tzoraim shalach lo shagir li omai omaot sheeshli biyadcha. Okay, in the afternoon, same thing. Shalach lo adain yeshli shehu biyom. B'mincha shalach lo shagir li omaim omaot sheeshli biyadcha. Okay, it's already mincha time, afternoon. He says, send me what you got. Shalach lo, adayim yesh li shehup payom. Ligleg alav oto adon. Okay, now at this point, the guy starts to laugh at him and mock him. Amar, kol hashana kula, lo yardu gshamim? V'achshav yardu gshamim? What, you think the very last minute it's going to rain? Right, the suspense is probably killing you. Nichnas lebeit hamerchatz b'simcha. Okay, here there's a clear slap in the face, right? Where does he go? To the Beit HaMerchatz, where they clearly have water in abundance, even for bathing, not just for drinking, right? You'd imagine in a drought, nobody's going to the Beit HaMerchatz, but this guy, clearly they've got water. Ad sheha'adon nichnas b'simchato lebeit HaMerchatz, nakdimon nichnas lebeit HaMidrash. Here they're clearly setting up the parallel, right? This guy goes in mockery to the Beit HaMerchatz because he knows by the end of the day he's going to get lots of money. And Nachdimon alternatively goes into the Beit HaMikdash, okay? Because that's, right, that's what we do. Right, they're in the Beit HaMerchatz, we're in the Beit HaMikdash. Kishuhu Atzev, Kishuhu Atzev, okay? Here that guy goes B'simchato, and he goes Kishuhu Atzev, he's very sad.
What took him so long?
What took him so long is an excellent question. Exactly. Why did he wait till the very last minute?
Better story.
Right, definitely adds to the suspense. Nit Atzev Amad B'tfila, Amar Lefanav, Ribono Shel Olam, Galoy v'yadua lefanecha, shelo lechvodi asiti, v'lo lechvod beit abba asiti, ela lechvodcha asiti. Shumayim mitzuyin la'olei regalim. God, you know I didn't do this for my sake, and I didn't do it for my family's sake. I did this for your kavod, that all the Jews would have water to drink when they went up la'regal, so why aren't you helping me? Miyad nitkashu shamayim ba'avim v'yardu g'shamim. Ad shenitmalu shnemesre mayonot mayim vehotiru, and then some. Okay, it rained so much that all the wells got filled up plus more.
Which, under the sub circumstances, is the kind of rain they said they don't want.
Right, that's true. Right, again, what do you see that more is coming? Right, you don't
it's
get exactly.
It's too much.
Right. Ad shiatsa adom libet hamerchatz. Okay, now, right, first we had ad shadon nichnas b'simchato, right? Here's ad sheyetze, right? Until the guy now starts coming out of the Beit HaMerchatz. Nakdimon ben Gurion yatsa mibet HaMikdash, right? The parallel, they're both going out. Kishepogu ze bazen, they bump into each other. Amar lo, ten li dmei mayim yoter sheyesh li biyadcha. He says, now give me the water, that the amount of money that you have in your hands. Amar lo, oh, sorry. I read it wrong. The Nakdimon says to the other guy, give me now the Demei Mayim Yoter Sheyesh Libiyadcha. I now return to 12 wells overfull of water. I want now the extra money for that extra water. I want you to pay me back, which obviously wasn't part of the deal. But he's kind of making fun. He's saying, look how much came down. Amar lo, yodea ani shelo ha'isha kadosh baruch hu et alamo ela b'shvilcha. I know that God didn't do this except for you. In other words, it's clear to me that this was a miracle from God. That, of that I have no doubt, because clearly if it's raining at the very last second, that's a sign of God. Ela adayin yesh li pitchom pe'alecha, sho'otzi mimcha et ma'otai, shekvar shak'achama u'gshamim b'rshuti yardu. But there's one little catch. The rain came after Shkia. And after Shkia is ready the next day, and you owe me the money, big time. Hand it over. Okay? Now, good end to the story. Chazar v'nichnas lebeit hamikdash. So he doesn't know what to do. So he goes back to the Beit HaMikdash. Nit'ateth ba'amah b'tfilah. Va'amar lefanav. Ribono shel olam. Hoda sheyesh lecha ahuvim ba'olamecha. Admit that you have people who love you, right? In other words, what happened? Aren't you there for me? Miyad nitpazru ha'avim b'zarcha chama. Ba'ota sha'a amar lo ha'adon. Ilu lo nikdara chama hayali pitchom pe'alecha shotzim imcha ma'utai. Okay, what does he say? So basically what happens? The clouds disperse and the sun comes out, and it seems clear that the sun never set. Okay,
so
there was, what?
He made a longer day.
Exactly. He made the day longer. What does it sound like?
Yeshua.
Okay, so he made the day longer. And it's unclear. There's two options. One is he actually extended the day. And another is the guy just thought it was nighttime. You know what happens when a storm comes. The storm comes. They didn't have clocks in those days, right? So the storm comes. He assumes that it's nighttime. There's a lot of cases in the Gemara where they talk about this, where they bring in early Shabbos, and then right, they think it's not really early Shabbos. They bring in Shabbat, thinking it was Shabbat, and then it turns out it was just a rainy day, and the clouds disperse, and the sun comes out. Is it Asur B'Melacha or not? Sadam Brachot. There's a bunch of cases where they talk about this. So he says, so now Amar lo ha'adon, ilu lo nikdara chama hayali pitchom pe'alecha, right? If the sun hadn't come through, I would have had something to say, right? I would have been able to say, shotzim imcha ma'utai, right? Clearly he's saying, you got in just by the, right, just in the nick of time, and had it been any different, yeah, I would have been able to get my money. Okay. What do you see from this story? Right, you can make of this a bunch of things. I think what Ruth said to me was also the most obvious, which is that why was he waiting for the very last minute to pray to God? In other words, he thought, and this is where I think this very much connects with the Masechet. He thought, right, lo lechvodcha, lo lechvodi asiti, asiti lechvodcha, I did this for you, God. I assumed that you were going to be there for me. And you weren't. Like, what happened? And I think the point is that you can't just rely on the fact that God is going to come do it for you, right? And we're going to see this later in the daf also in a little bit of a different form. But you have to be proactive and you know, number one, do things technically to help things along, but also when it comes to rain where there's nothing you can do, you can't bring the rain, the only thing you can do is turn to God. And you shouldn't have waited to the very last minute to turn to God. And obviously, right, you can imagine yourself in this guy's situation. He was obviously very stressed. And, you know, if it would have come a few hours earlier, he wouldn't have been so stressed. Like, he obviously, it was a test of some sort. And it seems that he should have been smart enough to go before it was too late, before it was the very last minute. Okay, in the end, God helps him anyway. But you know, again, there's a way to get help that's easier, and there's a way to get help that's not so simple. He had to take the longer, more complicated path and more stressful. Apparently, you know, again, one message could be because he didn't go pray in the first place. Again, I'm sure there's other things we could take out of the story, but we'll leave it at that for right now. Tana, lo nakdimon shmo ela bonishmo. V'lama nikra shmo nakdimon shenikdira chama ba'avuro. Nakdimon wasn't really his name. It was his name that he got from the story because the son, okay, now it's unclear. Nikdira, Rashi says, zarcha, okay, lashon makdir, shaita chama koderet barakia v'zorachat. It comes out. Rashi says, Tosfot says, kemo mikadir baharim, klomar shem minakev harakia, that it opens up spots and like it makes holes in the sky, like lakdur, so to make holes. So it's either to make holes or lizroch. In either case, it means the same thing, that the sun bursts through. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, shlosha nikdema lahem chama ba'avuran. Now we're going to see there's three people, not just Yoshua, bet you didn't know this. There's three people that the sun stopped for them, okay, that the sun came out earlier. Moshe, Yoshua, and Nachimon ben Gurion. Bishlama Nachimon ben Gurion Gemara. That's the story we just learned. Yoshua nami kra dichti kra nami kra. There's also a pasuk dichtiv by Yidom Hashemesh v'yareach hamad. Right, and the pasuk that we all know, right, that Shemesh b'gimon yom v'yareach me'amakayalom. Right, and then it says by Yidom Hashemesh v'yareach hamad ad yikom goy orvav. Okay? And you assume, right, we always assume that was the only time this ever happened. Now we're going to learn. So it happened with Nachdimon. Again, how exactly you translate if it really stopped or not, or it really just had never set. Ella, you know, I was thinking also, the guy was in the Beit HaMerchat, so he missed the whole, you know, he didn't see any of that going on. So, you know, he was kind of in the dark, right? And then he comes out, and it looks like it's nighttime. It's very likely he could have gotten confused, especially also he wanted to think it was nighttime. So he was able to say that. Okay. Ela Moshe Minalan. So where do we learn from Moshe? So now we're going to see three different ways they learn from Moshe, that the same thing happened to Moshe that happened to Yoshua. Okay, the Moshe was able to do the same thing. And they all learn it from this one pasuk. Okay, if you have the Torah or on the side, you can read it. It's from Sefer Dvarim Perek Bet, Pasuk Kapeh. It says Hayom Hazeh Achel Tepachcha. It's a section that talks about. He's saying when you go to Sichon, right? Remember Moshe goes through Sichon and he wants to go through his land, and he says, "Please let me go, and we won't ask for water, we won't ask for anything, right?" And we want to go, and then Sichon's going to fight against him, and he's going to win. So what happens here? This is preparation for going into the land. Hayom Hazeh Achel Tepachcha V'yiratcha Al Pnei Ha'amim Tachat Kol Hashamayim. I'm going to start to put the fear of you on all the nations. And what does it say about all the nations? All the nations under the sky. Okay? Normally, you would assume it means the nations nearby, surrounding. But because the pasuk says under the sky, they're going to darshan from this. So let's see. So they're going to have three different limudim on this pasuk. Two are gzerah shava, and then in the end, they're going to say, no, we can really learn it from the pshat of the pasuk, but we're going to start here with the drashot. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Atya Achel Achel. It says in this pasuk, Hayom Hazeh, on this day, Achel. I'm going to start to put your fear on the nations. And Achel also comes up in Yoshua. Not in Shemesh B'Givon Dom, but it says, in Perek Gimel, it says, Vayom HaShem Yoshua, Hayom Hazeh Achel Gadelcha Be'enei B'nei Yisrael. I'm going to make you look great in the eyes of B'nei Yisrael. What do you see here? I'm going to make you look great, and I'm going to make the other nations have fear of you. Both have the word achel. So what are we going to learn? What was part of Yoshua's greatness? Part of his greatness was Shemesh B'Givon Dom, right? So even though that's not in the context there, but since it says achel by Yoshua, and it says achel by Moshe, tivhacha achel tepachtecha, tivhatam achel gadelcha. Okay, and therefore we learn that what made Yoshua great was that he was able to stop the sun, and likewise Moshe must have done the same thing also. And that's what put his fear upon the other nations. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani amar, Atya teit teit. Okay, there's a pasuk there which says, right, by Moshe it said, Achel teit, I'm going to start to put your fear of you. And with Yoshua, Dafka in the pasuk where it says, Shemesh b'givon dom, okay, here's the pasuk, it's Yoshua yud, pasuk yubet. Az yidaber Yoshua l'Hashem, Biyom teit Hashem et ha'emori lefnei b'nei Yisrael, on the day that God put the Amorim in his hands, in the hands of Bnei Israel. Vayomer le'enei Israel shemesh b'givon dom v'yirech b'emek ha'yalon. It's a better proof because it's right there in the same pasuk. It says tet, and by Moshe it says tet, so it must be that Moshe did the same thing. Uchtiv, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Atem Igufei Dekra, you don't need any Gzeira Shabbat. The Pasuk itself implies that. Why? What does it say? Asher Yishma'un Shim Acha, Viragzu V'chalo Mipanecha. Okay, the Pasuk there where it says, I'm going to put the fear of the people upon you, right? And it says, the fear of all the nations under the sky, and what's going to be? All the nations under the sky are going, Asher Yishma'un Shim Acha, they're going to hear about you, Viragzu V'chalo Mipanecha, and they're going to be fearful of you. Okay, now, how can it be possible in a day without emails, without communication, telephones, how can it be possible that the entire world, tachat kol shamayim, right, are going to hear about Moshe? What's the only obvious thing? That the sun's going to stop, and it's going to be a sign that everyone in the world can see. So, that's how they learn it from the pshat. Must have been, right, when do they fall in fear of Moshe, when the sun stopped. Okay, so here we learn that they're trying to, it's almost like an attempt to say that you might have thought Yoshua had something up on Moshe, right? It can't be. Moshe also did the same thing as Yoshua. Okay. V'chein ir shelo yardu aleg shamim. Now we're going to talk about a city. By the way, this whole section also, just in terms of Moshe, Yoshua, it's again showing the power of tefillah, right? The sun didn't stop because God decided this would be a good tactic. The sun stopped because Yeshua asked him, right? He said, Shemesh b'givon, don't be a rechba amekai alone. It's that turning to God is what allows these God to be part of things. Okay, now we're going to talk about some other stuff. We'll get back to the Mishnah about b'chein ir shalor yadu alek shamim. Remember, there was a city where one city doesn't have rain, but the surrounding cities have rain, and then they said the people in that city have to pray and fast, and the people in the surrounding cities only have to do partial, not the whole thing. So now, they learned it out from this pasuk in Amos, right, which said that al irachat amtir, val iracher lo, right, there'll be one city where it will rain, and another city it won't rain. Okay, as if that's a curse for the city that doesn't get rain, right? But the city that gets rain, it seems, from the pshat, that city's okay, and the one that doesn't get rain is not okay. But comes Rav Yehuda Amarav, and he says, Ushtehen leklala. When that pasuk is talking about that both the city that it rains on is going to get overly rained on, and the city that doesn't get rained on is going to have no rain. So both of them are cursed. That's a pasuk that's cursing both sides. Now the same Rav Yehuda, who said in the name of Rav, that Shehen Lekala is now going to take four psukim and do the opposite with them. They're going to seem like psukim of klala, and he's going to turn it into a bracha. Okay, here I think it's very interesting because what do you have basically? It's a psychological thing. It's how you look at something, right? In other words, you could look at something and say this looks good or this looks bad, and right, especially in these four psukim, it looks like everything's bad, but he's going to find like the hint of hope in it, okay, the glimmer of hope, and try to say that sometimes even when things look bad, there's always a glimmer of hope, and that I think is his message. So what is he going to say now? For the first two psukim are from Echa, which is clearly, right, it's clearly negative. Haita Yerushalayim l'nida b'nehem. Okay, Yerushalayim became a city, right, like a nida. What is a nida? It's, right, set. It's away, it's rejected, it's tameh, it's, right, all these negative connotations. Amar v'yudah marav libracha. No, this pasuk is libracha, kinida. Okay, for all the women. We know Nida is just temporary. Nobody lives in Nida forever. You get out of it. There's a way out. So the same way Yerushalayim is going to be Binida, but it's going to come out of it. Okay? It's going to have hope that it will become, there is a point where it will become Tahor again. Haitach ke'almana, also from Echa, the first pasuk. Okay? It's like an almana. That sounds pretty bad, right? Amar Rav Yehuda libracha. They call it Amanut Chayut. It's a live widow. What does that mean? Her husband went away for a long time. He's not around. She's almost like a widow. But he will come back. Okay, he will come back. It's the same way of Yerushalayim. It was, right, the husband went away, but he will come back. Okay, here's a pasuk from Malachi. Okay, it's saying, I am going to make you embarrassed and low and looking terrible in the eyes of the you know, the non-Jews. So Amar Rav Yehuda libracha. There's also, right, you have to look at the bright side. What's good about this? That they're not going to turn you into leaders like the Rosh Ha'ir or the tax collectors, or right? Because what happens? In general, right, so here there's different interpretations. Either, first of all, the tax collectors everybody hates because they're collecting taxes. Also, if you get into high positions, right, this is very similar to what happened at some of the explanations of the Shoah. When the Jews get into high positions, right, the enemies feel threatened by them and then want to destroy them. So better to be, you know, low on the totem pole and not have too much importance so it won't get you into trouble. Won't get you hated by them or that kind of thing. Okay, now, the last pasuk is an interesting one, but you'll have to wait with a little bit of patience to understand the whole thing. God is going to hit you. Here's a pasuk from Melachim. Say from Melachim, this is Achiyah HaShiloni, is the Navi who comes to Yeravam ben Nevat. Okay, remember Yeravam, he was the king right when the Malchuyot split, and he turned Hachtiyat Yisrael, and he gets, right, the Navi comes to him and he says, God is going to attack you, Kashir Yanur HaKaneh B'mayim, like the reeds sway in the water. Now, what's reeds? Reeds are the most weak, right? It's saying you're nothing. You're weak. You're going to be like the reeds, which, you know, can be pulled and swayed and, you know, with nothing. No wind, anything. It will just move it.
But they bend but don't break.
But what?
They bend but don't break.
Ah, so right. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, Libracha. This is a bracha. Ta'amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonatan, Mai dichtiv ne'emanim pitzei ohev, v'ne'atarot nishikot sone. Okay, now here's a pasuk which says that it's from Mishlei. The psa'im that you get, the injuries you get from an ohev is better than the nishikot you get from a soneh, than the kisses of someone who hates you. Now, what do they say? Okay, tova klala shekilel achiyah shiloni Yisrael yotir mibracha shebracham bil amarasha. They're saying, they're darshaning this pasuk, and they're saying, what is this pasuk an indication of? Better the klala that achiyah shiloni gave you than the bracha that Bilam gave you. Okay, let's see why. Achiyah shiloni kilelam bekane. Okay, we'll see in a minute. I'll just jump ahead. Achiyah used the imagery of a kane to curse them, whereas Bilam used the imagery of an erez to bless them. Now, an erez is that tall cedar tree, very strong, very, right? It sounds like a great thing. And the kane sounds very weak and nothing. But now he's going to turn it on the flip side and say, look at the positive side. Amar lahem l'Yisrael, v'hikah shemet Yisrael ka'ashir yanur ha'kaneh. Ma kaneh ze ome b'mkom mayim. First of all, what's the benefit of a kaneh? What's the advantage? It lives in the water, which means it doesn't ever need to go looking for water. It's always watered. V'gizo machlif, if you cut it, it'll regrow. Okay, even if you cut it down to its stump, it'll grow again. V'shorashav mirubim, and it has tons of roots, which means it's very solid. V'afilu kol haruchot shebaolam ba'ot v'noshvot bo. Ein mizizot ato mimkomo. It will never move from its place. Ela holech v'bayim ahem. Right? So it'll sway from side to side. Damimu haruchot aman achaneh bimkomo. But as soon as the wind stops, it's back to where it belongs. It doesn't get moved. Aval, right, which is very much an imagery for the Jewish people. Right? In other words, as much as we get beaten up and get into trouble, right, we're always still there. Aval bil'am arasha birchan be'erez, sheneemar ka'arazim alemayim. Ma erez ze eno omeh b'mkom mayim. Okay, it doesn't live in the water. It needs to be watered, the tree. Ve'ein gizo machlif. If you cut it down to its stump, it won't grow back. Ve'ein shorashav merubim. It doesn't have deep roots or a lot of roots. Afilu kol haruchot shebaolam noshvot bo ein mezizot ato mimkomo. Okay, all the winds will come. It won't move it. However, kevan shenashva bo ruach dromit. But if that evil south wind comes, which is deathly, O kartovo pachto panav. Okay, one big strong wind can knock that tree. Doesn't have big roots, right? Deep roots. It'll just get knocked over, and that'll be the end of it.
Like the giving tree.
Right. It does sound like the giving tree. I was thinking about that too. Okay. Below od ella, and one more thing. I'm going to say shezacha kaneh litol himenu kumus lachtovo sefer Torah nevi'im k'tuvim. The kaneh is the thing that they use to write a sefer Torah Nevi'im and Ketuvim. They use the kaneh because the kaneh has a nice image.
Interesting.
Okay.
They also use it to save Moshe.
Ah, right. It's yafeh. I didn't think about that. Right. Teva Moshe was right, made out of a kaneh. Okay. Now we're going to see. Okay, another thing about a comparison between a kaneh and an erez, and from there we're going to get into another good story. Tana Rabbanan, la'olam yehe adam rach kekaneh, va'al yehe kashek erez. You should always be soft like the reeds and not hard like the erez. Here we're going to hear a story about it. Maaseh sheba Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Shimon. Okay, you remember him? He's the son of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Remember the story? They go into the cave and they're there for so many years. They come out and they start burning people with their eyes because they're so into the right, they lived in this world with just them and Torah, and they see something. It's important to understand the background because this is a very similar story. They see something, like they see people doing things, Averot, and they can't handle it, right? To them, they're very much the Kana'i type person, right? The zealot, and they see things, and they just, anything that's out of their realm, they can't tolerate. They go back into the cave for another year, and then they come out and they see someone carrying Hadassim, the Shabbat, and they realize, oh, you know, and anyway, they're. Despite that, they still have that zealotry in them. Okay, so he comes, Maaseh Sheba Migdal Gedor. Okay, some people say there's actually no place found anywhere that's called Migdal Gedor. Okay, lots of times in stories they use things as imagery. Okay, like they'll make up a name. What's Migdal Gedor? It's a Migdal, right? He's coming from a high tower. Okay, you can already see where this is going. And Gedor, like a fenced off. You know, almost like in the cave, right? He was fenced off. He lived in his own world. Mi beit rabo. Okay, he comes from his rabbi's house. V'haya rachuv ala chamor. U'metayel al sfat nahar. V'sameach simcha gedola. It almost reminds you of the simcha of the Adon, right, in the first story, right? It's the bad guy that's got that happiness about him. Happiness isn't always a good thing. V'haytata atso gasala. Really like the Roman guy, right? He was feeling so proud of himself. Oh, I just learned Torah with my rabbi. V'pnei shalamad Torah harbe. Nizdameinu adam achad shahaya mechoar biyotir. A guy comes upon him who is disgustingly ugly. Okay, really, really ugly. By the way, we had this, the ugly, right? How the Torah can come in the form of ugliness. Some people read this story. It doesn't necessarily mean only ugly. It means ugly, like he wasn't a learned guy. He was ignorant, okay? And he looked down upon him as if he was ugly. In other words, it wasn't just physical. It was also, offensive. You know, what?
He was offensive.
He was offensive, right. His manner was offensive. His, you know, whatever it wasn't part of his realm, right, what he's used to.
Have we seen the story itself somewhere before?
I don't think we saw this story.
It could be one of the elements.
No, I don't think we saw this story before. Maaseh Sheba, let's just look.
It's used all the time in Drashot.
Avot to Rabbi Nasi. Yes, it does. I remember Seth taught it one year on Shavuot night. It's a story that gets used a lot. It's a famous story. Amarlo, Shalom Alecha Rebbe. So the Mechoar person, the ugly person, says to him, you know, hello Rebbe. Velo Hechzirlo, and he ignored him. Amarlo, or he doesn't exactly ignore him, but he didn't say Shalom, okay? He didn't say hello back. Amarlo reka, you're an empty person. Kama mechoar oto aish. And then probably he mutters under his breath, how ugly that person is. Shema kol bnei yircha mechoarim kmotcha. Okay, now it's unclear how you can read this. It's saying, are all the people in your city disgusting like you? Now either it's just a way of adding insult to injury, right? And just saying, oh, you and all your people are like that. Or is he maybe saying, like, maybe it's not really your fault. Maybe you come from a city of people who behave this way and look this way and act this way, and maybe that's where it comes from. But despite that, he's still not going to really say hello to him. Amar lo eni yodea. I don't know. Ela lech ve'emor le'uman sha'sa'ani kama mechoar kli ze sha'asita. He says to him, go tell the person who made me how ugly the kli that he made is. So Rabbi Lazar realizes immediately, oh boy, that was inappropriate. I shouldn't have behaved that way. Okay, he realizes he chata. Yarav in a chamor v'nishtatech lefanav. He comes down off the chamor and he bows down before him, like he pleads before him. V'amar lo, ne'neti lecha mecholi. Please forgive me, I'm sorry about what I said. Amar lo, eni mochel lecha ad shetelech l'uman shasani. This has nothing to do with me. It's between you and the guy who made me. Go deal with him. Okay, which basically means, tough luck, I'm not going to forgive you. So Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon feels really bad about this, and he follows him until they get to the city. Everybody comes out to greet who? Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. Shalom alecha, Rebbe, Mori, Mori. Hey, Rebbe, Mori, Mori. Amar lehem. So the ugly guy says, Lemi atem korim Rebbe. Who are you calling Rebbe? Now, there's one way to read this, which is he didn't even realize this was a great rabbi, but he did. He must have, because what he used to say in the beginning of the story, Shalom alecha, Rebbe. But what happens? He no longer looks at him as a rabbi anymore. In other words, he says, who are you calling Rebbe? This guy's not a rabbi, right? Unfortunately, we have this in our day, right? Where people call rabbi, but they're doing things that, in our minds, you should never call someone rabbi if they do this kind of a thing, and that's what he's saying. Amru lo, lezeshe metei alacharecha, to the guy right behind you. Amar lahem, im ze Rebbe, al yirbu kamoto b'Yisrael. If this is what you call a rabbi, halavai, there shouldn't be many like him. Amru lo, mipnema, what happened? Why do you feel this way about him? Amar lahem kach v'kach asali. Amru lo, af al pichen mecholo, sh'adam gadol b'torahu. You should still forgive him because even though he showed real disrespect for you and disrespect for God, he's still an adam gadol b'torah, so you should forgive him. Right. Dafka, because he's a gadol b'torah, you shouldn't forgive him if he did such a thing. But I think the issue here is that he has remorse. In other words, he feels bad and he realizes his mistake.
But there are reasons.
If he didn't realize his mistake, right, it's true. I can agree with that. Okay, so now, Amar lahem bishvilchem hareni mochelo, ubavad shelo yehei ragil lasokim. Okay, he says, for your sake, since you're really asking me, I will forgive him, not because I really want to, but he better not do this again. Okay, in other words, he should learn his lesson. Miyad nichnas Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon b'darash la'olam yehei adam rach kekaneh va'al yehei kasheh ke'eres. Okay, he said people should always be rach kekaneh and not kasheh ke'eres. U'lefichach zaka kaneh litol himenu kolmus lechtob ha'sefer Torah tefilinu mezuzot. Now what do you think he's talking about when he says that? It's two possibilities, right?
That he was flexible enough to...
Either he means you shouldn't be kasheh ke'eres the way I was at the beginning of the story, where I couldn't see past this external appearance of this guy, and I should have been more easygoing, which in the end I was, I guess is what you're saying. Or he's saying this guy, the Micho'ar, even though Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon was wrong, the other guy was also wrong. He also was being kasheh ke'eres and not rach kekaneh, and he wouldn't accept my forgiveness. So basically, you know, and it could be, you could see it in both ways, right? A drasha can be heard, right? When somebody says a drasha or some sort of moral lesson, right? Everybody hears from it what they take from it. In other words, you could really take both sides. And often you find this in stories. On the one hand, we like to think usually the stories, there's a good guy and there's a bad guy. And the good guy's all good and the bad guy's always bad. In these kind of stories, often, the good guy, just like the Choni HaMagel story, right? Choni HaMagel wasn't perfect, and, you know, Shimon Chetak's approach, you know, like, his approach wasn't perfect. He might have been good, and he did a good thing, but in the end, he didn't, as Shimon Ben Chetak said, he didn't do it in the right way, necessarily. So, there's no, it's just like the world is, right? There's no clear-cut 100% good and 100% bad. So here, both of them should have been a little more softer than they were. Okay. Now we're going to go on more into the details of the Mishnah. If there's dever or mapolet in a city, a building falling down. Okay, so now we're going to talk about the mapolet. Tanu Rabbanan, mapolet sha'amru, briot v'lo ru'ot. It's only if it's a healthy building or a healthy wall and not one that was about to fall apart anyway. If you have a weak wall and the whole wall falls apart, you're not going to make a fast for that or start calling out to God. That was just negligence, right? You didn't build it properly. She'inan ru'uyot lipol, v'lo ha'ru'uyot lipol. Again, it's only things that are not ru'uy lipol that wouldn't be falling otherwise. Okay? But not things... only things that weren't going to fall otherwise and not things that were going to fall anyway. So now the Gemara says, what do you mean? Heinu briot, heinu shonam riyot. What's the difference? Briot means it's not going to fall, right? So which What's briot? That's einan ruyot lipo. What's the difference between the two? They seem to be exactly the same thing. And then likewise, for the second section, hei nihu ruot. What's the difference between ruot? Not, right? Not sturdy. But hei nihu ruyot lipo, about to fall, right? Or possibly falling. It seems like the same thing. So what are they? Explain. Lo tzricha dinaflum mechamad gov hayu. It's something that fell because of its height. Right, I was thinking about when kids build blocks and towers, right? The higher you get to the tower, the more likely it is to fall. Even if you build something very solid, if you don't build the right proportions, and you don't go out, here we have our architect in the room, okay? If you don't build it properly, with the right proportions, the higher you get, the more likely it is to fall. So it could be it's bari, right? Every brick was put in a healthy manner, but the thing wasn't built in a way that was ra'oi, right? It was eino ra'oi, it was ra'oi lipo. Inami, or another option, dekaiman aguda denahara. You built it by the water. And what happens by the water? The water overflows very often and eventually will wear out the foundations. And even though the building seems sturdy, the foundations will get worn out and the whole building will be ra'oi lipo, even though it's bari. Now they're going to give a story, which is the opposite. Okay, it's going to give you an example of something that's ra'ua, but eino ra'ui lipo. Okay, something that could be standing on its last legs for years and years and years. Okay? Hahi ashita ra'ua. Okay, it was a wall that was falling, shaky. Dehavi b'nahardea. It was b'nahardea. Deloha b'chalif rabu shmuel tota. They would never go underneath this wall. Okay, past this, is it a wall? What is it exactly? What does it say there in the translation?
It's... dilapidated wall.
Okay, I don't know how exactly you go under a wall, but okay, I guess they never went, you know, nearby where it might fall. Okay, they always avoided it. Even though it was there, okay, this rickety wall was there for 13 years. One day, Rav Adbar Ava comes to the nearby the wall. Amar leShmuel Rav, ne temar nakif. Shmuel says to Rav, let's go around, right? We don't want to go near this wall. Amar le, Rav says to him, Lo tzrichna ha'idna de'ikar v'adabar ava b'hadan. Nafish zchute v'lo mustafina. Now don't worry about it. Rav Adbar Ava is with us, and he's got a lot of zchuyot, okay? And I'm not, you know, we don't need to be worried. Mustafina is to be fearful. Okay, so clearly Rav Adbar Ava was known. I actually looked it up in these books about Chmea Tana'in. He was known to be a bit of a miracle man, okay? He had this... You would think Rav and Shmuel, right? Rav and Shmuel are more famous than Rav Adbar Ava. But there's people who are famous for certain things and people who are famous for other things. Rav and Shmuel were famous for their intellect, okay? And their, right? And the fact that they were these great rabbis. But this guy, Rav Adbar Ava, was known that he had a lot of zchuyot and he was like this pious tzaddik type character, okay? And because of that, he would have a zchut to save them. So he said, don't worry, we don't have to walk around. Now we're going to hear another story with Rav Adbar Ava. Rapuna, so there we give an example of something that's ra'ua, right? But it wasn't ra'ui lipol. It didn't fall for 13 years. Rapuna havelahu chamra bahu beta ri'ia. Rapuna had wine stored up in this house that was dilapidated and about to fall apart. Ubay lefanuye, he wanted to take the wine out. Before the house fell apart and his wine got ruined, he wanted to take the wine out. Aile l'Rav Adbar Ahava lahatam. He brought in Rav Adbar Ahava to the house. Mashche b'shmata adipanye, and he kept him going talking Torah until, right, he said, oh, come and help me, and they sat talking Torah and they cleared out all the wine bottles. Okay, batari denafik, as soon as they walked out of the house, nako beta. Okay, the whole house falls and collapses. Argish Rav Adbar Ava. Rav Adbar Ava all of a sudden realizes what he did. Okay, Rav Huna did. Ikpid, he got very angry at him. He used him, basically, right? Okay? There's two things he did, right? Number one, he used him. This the Gemara doesn't say, but I want to add this. He used him without telling him, right? It's inappropriate to use a person like that. It's one thing if you're walking on the street and you say, oh, we can walk by this area because Rav Ad is with us and his school will work to save us. But that's different than bringing someone into your house to right, so as a stalling tactic and pretending to talk Torah with him. I mean, I'm sure he was really talking Torah, but that's really a little sly. Rav Adbar Ava didn't like that. Now the Gemara explains. Savar laki hata amar Rabbi Yanai leolam alya amor adam b'makom sakana v'yomar osim li nes. Shema en osim lo nes. First of all, he endangered him. He knew this house was going to fall apart. So why did he put him in this dangerous situation? You know, yes, it's true that maybe he brought the nace and in because of him, but you can't always assume that a miracle is going to happen. Even if you're going to say, okay, fine, it was clear a miracle was going to happen and some house was going to fall on Rabbi de Barava, which I don't know how you could really be clear of that. Minakim lo mizchuyotav. We've seen this in the past. It's going to come off your record. In other words, how many times can a miracle happen to you, right? You might be worthy, but you're only worthy of X amount of miracles happening to you. Chaval, you wasted it on this house, right? On your wine. Amar Rav Hanan, Maikra, where do we have a pasuk that learns that they're going to be menachem yizchuyotav? Dichtiv katonti mikol chasadim u'mikol ha'emet. What does that mean? Katonti mikol chasadim. I'm smaller because of all the chasadim. They understand, so why am I smaller? Because every time I got a chesed, I now, my zchuyot are less than they were before. Okay. My hava uvde, yeah.
It's an interesting discussion. Like, yeah. Are you allowed to put yourself in danger, counting on a miracle?
Right.
Like, it's a really interesting idea.
Mm-hmm. Right, it's a, right. In other words, you have to be smart. I guess also, if you think about it, this all works in with, there's an interplay here between, if you call it, calling out to God is in the miracle realm or not. Like, how do you view this? And I think these stories are getting at it. How do you view, you know, you pray to God and then a miracle happens, or you pray to God and it happens in a natural way, right? Like in the case of Nachtimon Ben Gurion, it was clearly a miracle. Even the non-Jew agreed that the fact that it came at the very last second of the day, it's clear that God just made a miracle happen and brought all the rain. But where's the line between God helping you and miracle coming into play?
Are you allowed to put yourself in risk?
Right. So
counting on a miracle.
Exactly. So then that's another thing to add, which is we have this whole interplay of the rain and calling to God for rain and asking God for a miracle, right? When it's not supposed to rain and we want it to rain, or if it hasn't rained. And then how much can we, right, then go to the next step, which is if we can count on God and hope that if we call out to him, he'll answer us, how far can we take that? Right, it's that famous, you know, joke about the guy who, you know, God sends him the boat and he sends him everything and he says, God, I thought you were going to save me, right? Why didn't you get in the boat? I sent you a boat, you didn't take it. So that's also a good, where's the line? Between miracle, reality, right? Natural means, it's all intertwined. And that's really what this Masechet is talking about, I think. And here you're getting at it, where it's somewhat intertwined, and don't do things that to you look like you won't survive them, hoping that maybe a miracle will happen. Okay, so now they want to know what made Rav Adbrava unique, that he caused all this, right, that he was able to have schuyot like this. Ma havi uvda de Rav Adbrava. Now this we learned already. Ki ha de itmar, shalu talmidav, I don't remember where we had this, let me just look, it was in Shabbat, okay? Shalu talmidav, le Rav Adbrava, ba meha erachte yamim, okay, obviously this, he must have died very old, so for what were you zocha for arichut yamim? Amar lahem, mi amai lo badati b'toch beti. I never got angry in my house. It's a good one. Number one, okay? Never got angry in my house. Some people say b'toch beti is also my wife. Beti is my wife. Never got angry at my wife. Definitely we can support that one. B'lo tza'adati mipnei misha gadol mimeni. I never walked in front of someone who was greater than me. By the way, I was thinking about this. The story, when they go into the city with the ugly man, who goes first into the city? The ugly man. And here it says, I'll never walk in front of an Adam Shagadomi Mani, right? That even the order they walked in was showing that things had flipped.
Isn't it possible that he didn't know and he called him just Rebbe out of respect?
Yes, it's definitely possible he didn't know he was a Rebbe. Uh-huh. But in any case, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon walked behind him, which also means that he was showing respect for the ugly man. He had flipped, right? He had turned. Everything flips in the story, really. Okay. It's interesting, if you think about it, when he says, I'm just thinking about the story more, when he says, who are you calling Rebbe? It's almost like things aren't as they seem, right? He looks ugly, but it doesn't mean he's a reka, right? It doesn't mean he's an empty person. And Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon looks like he's a rabbi, but who says he's a rabbi? You know, like everything's kind of flipped, and don't take things ever for what they look like. Okay. So now, what does it say? Okay, below here, harati b'mavo'ot ha-metunafot. I never thought about divrei Torah when I went to a disgusting place. Below halachti dalan amot below Torah. Okay, I never walked 4 amot without learning Torah. Below tefillin. Below yashanti b'beit ha-midrash lo shenat keva, below shenat arai. Last time we talked about this stuff, about the shenat keva and shenat arai, and the b'midrash, and having to do with tefillin also. V'losasti b'takalat chaverai. I never got happy when my friend messed up, you know, and someone else looked bad. I never got happy about that. V'lo karati l'chaverai b'hachinato, v'amri la b'chanichato. Okay, here it's two different ways of nicknames. There's different interpretations of it, but I never called anyone by a nickname, either by a nickname that other people call him, or by a nickname that the family called him, or there's different interpretations about it, or I never made up a nickname for anyone, nor did I call him by a nickname that other people call him. Here I was thinking about sometimes my kids get very offended when one of the other kids of the family calls them like a teasing name, even if it's not a negative name, that sometimes calling people by their nicknames is just offensive to them. I'm a Rav or a farm bar papa. Lemalam mar, Mahani milim al yata dava avi Rav Huna. Rav says to Rav Huna bar Papa. Now this is Rav Huna was asking in the last story. He brought Rav Adi bar Ava into his house, right? Because he didn't think he had enough spuyot. He thought Rav Adi bar Ava did. So now Rav says to Rav Huna bar Papa, tell me something about Rav Huna. He must have had spuyot himself. In other words, he was a good guy. Like he. So what did they say? What's the answer? Amale biyinukte lo dechirna. I don't remember him when he was in his youth. I don't know why he adds this. So I don't remember that. But besivute, but in his old age, dechirna, I remember, dechol yom deiva hava mafkanle beguharka dedahava. Every time it was a rainy day, a cloudy day, they would take him out on this chariot of gold. They would carry him around. Besir le kulamata, and he would look at the entire city. Becholashita dehavad ri'ya, hava satar le. Any wall he saw that was rickety, he would knock down. Iafshar lemara banela, v'ilo afshar banela iu midide. If it was afshar lemare bane, if the owner of that wall was able to rebuild it, what did he want? He didn't want the walls to fall down and hurt people, so he would knock them down before they would fall accidentally. So then, if the person whose wall it was had the money to rebuild it, they would pay for it themselves. And if they didn't have the money to rebuild it, he would pay for it to be rebuilt. Okay? Every Erev Shabbat, he would send a shaliach to the shuk at the end of the day. Anything that was left in the shuk, he would buy out the rest of the shuk, buy everything that was there, and he would throw it into the river. Say, what kind of crazy thing? He threw it into the river. He should give it to the poor people. He was worried that if the poor people knew that every Friday he goes to the shuk and buys out the rest of the shuk, then what will they do? They'll wait and they won't buy anything. And then what happens if nothing's left in the shuk? Nothing's left in the shuk, then they're going to have no food for Shabbat. So he didn't want them to rely on him. So because of that, he'd throw it into the Nahar and wouldn't give it to the Aniyim because he knew that it would be teaching them a bad lesson. You know, and that they'd end up some weeks without food for Shabbat. Now you might say, if all the poor people aren't buying anything in the shuk, they'll definitely be leftovers in the shuk, but I guess he didn't want to count on that. I assume supply wasn't always as plentiful as it is today. Then they say, v'lishya lebehema, at least he could give it to animals. Kasavar ma'achal adam e'machilin lebehema. Okay, there's a whole thing about this, I don't want to go into it, about whether can you actually feed food that's ra'oy for people to animals. Obviously, halacha l'maaseh, we come up with ways to do it because animals do eat food that's ra'oy for people, and there's different interpretations. We don't have time to get into it. Then they say, but lo lizbinei klal, so then maybe you just shouldn't buy it. Why is he going to buy it and throw it into the water? Now, you have to remember, whatever produce is left, they have no way to store it. It's going to get ruined by Sunday. So what do they say? Nimtzei machshilan la'atid lavo. What was he worried about? He bought it all out because he was worried that if he doesn't buy it, the storekeepers are going to say, next week I'm going to buy less stuff. And I'm not going to bring it, right? I'm going to have so much waste. I'm not going to buy as much stuff, and then there won't be enough food for people, l'chod Shabbat. So his tactic was to buy it all, and they threw it to the river. Now, some people say, threw it into the river, hoping people would take it out of the river. It's unclear. It's still very difficult, the fact that he just wasted all this food. Okay. I'm going to stop here. We'll pick up tomorrow.
Might not have been all that much food.